Come on down. And here I am, Maurice Cerrone from the Hammer Time Radio Show. We're transmitting in the A. Henny Manshaven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Appreciate your time today listening to the program. We'll talk about some various things, but the first thing I'd like to mention that those of you that came into the a store this past week in Tucson, I appreciate that very much. Enjoy the many conversations that we have concerning your projects, philosophies of home improvement areas that we're concerned with, and various other things about the life itself. You come in and let us know, or let me know that you're there on behalf of listening to the radio program, and I'll give you the tour of our 23,000-foot facility, so you get a flavor of many of the items that I talk about and what we accomplish in our business. Our address in Tucson is 1724 South 6th Avenue, 6 blocks south of 22nd Street. We're the big yellow building on the west side of the street as you approach 27th and 28th. If you get to 29th Street, we're back over your shoulder as you're heading southbound. And so do stop in. There's parking spots on the north side of the building as well as the south side of the building itself. Our phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200. Our hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. We are closed for various holidays and some major family activities that do occur at the present time. And the main reason for that closure is that the general manager of the store itself is a family member, as we are a family-owned operation since 1999. We have a Green Valley location at the north end of Green Valley off of the Duval Mine Road exit. It's 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. The phone number on location is 520-369-4858. The hours of operation are a little bit different. They are from about 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, to about 4:30 p.m. We have a husband and wife team down there to accomplish various activities we need to accomplish on behalf of the area or the people in the local area that have many remodeling projects going. So it's a pleasure to serve them, especially in the Green Valley area itself, as well as Sahuarita and other areas south and east. West is pretty much tied up with the mines that are situated in that area. And I do remember the mines quite vividly, in that I used to work in that general area when I was in high school and in college. So activities at A. Henny Manshaven, some of the things that we have going on, we are installing quite a few what I call large rollout trays. ROT is the initials that we use many times. We can, in any cabinet that's available, we can have a large ROT installed. So let's take a 48-inch cabinet as an example from left to right. We can put a large full-width rollout tray in that cavity that's situated there. Depending upon the height of the rollout tray itself, we may be able to put two of them in, or maybe we have to be restricted to one tall one and one short one. Gives you a tremendous storage capability. And the real advantage of that type of storage capability, those rollout trays are put on full extension glides. That means that the back of the tray comes all the way out to the front. They're on ball bearing roller systems, which allows them to slide rather easily. And the beauty of that is that you could look and see what's in your drawer, if you want to look at it that way, your rollout tray. And no more hand-to-knee operation like most cabinetry is, because people do not want to expense out those type of trays. But you can eliminate your hand-to-knee operation, and especially at nighttime, you won't need a flashlight to see what's in the back of your cabinetry. And the other item that does occur is that The back of the cabinetry is about 22 to 24 inches from the front. And if you happen to have a smaller opening, as an example, you may not be able to get into it. Because if you measure the length of your arm from your armpit, you'll find that it's somewhere above 20 inches, but not very well beyond that dimension. So that's one of our expertises down at A. Handyman's Haven. One of the other items that we do quite regularly is that individuals are asking for glass in their cabinet doors more often. We even have customers come in that have existing cabinetry that they like to have glass put in those doors, and we can do that in almost any door that's available from the from that standpoint. We have many types of glass that's available, many designs of glass that's available, which makes it rather attractive. And what I think is the beauty of it is that if you want to look for something in your cabinetry, you basically never have to open up a door. All you have to do is look through the glass, and you can see the items there if they're appropriately arranged in the areas that you'd like to have. Same when you have friends over as an entertainment-type environment. You can mention to something, and they can go look inside the glass doors without opening them and figure out what they're looking for and how to obtain it. So that's a good asset from that standpoint. We can also do that in household doors. There's many applications that we've accomplished over the years, especially since 1999, that if a customer wants to have a glass in a certain type of door, we can either figure out a way, or it's easily accomplished by ordering the door in specially with the appropriate size of glass that the customer may want. And then through our glass companies, we can bring the glass in and mount it, glaze it in, so to speak, as we say. And that can be true in any type of door, basically. There are some restrictions, but they're very minimal from that standpoint. One of the other activities that we've been working on in the past a week or so is that we have been getting requests for a so-called refacing of cabinetry. That is a unique feature that, with certain applications of the refacing activity, you can basically reduce your cost on the system of refacing and or minimize the amount of time that your entire kitchen or home will be done if you elect for a complete remodel. Our production engineer today is John Couch, the individual that you heard on the initial lead-in was Bob Dio. So he's done a lot of the of setting up of the ads and things of that nature, as well as John is working on that quite regularly. So, John, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you here today. And we're coming up on our first break, folks. So we're going to have John take it away. AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone in the A. Handyman's Haven Radio Studio. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. It's a pleasure being with you today as we talk about various aspects of remodeling. If you would like to call in and contribute to the show with what project you're doing and unique phase of it that you're in, that the customers or the listeners may be interested in, you know, please do on 520-790-2040. Just at the end of the last segment, we talked about refacing. There is a need for refacing. Many individuals or clients or customers may think that it's a considerable savings, and it depends on how you want to set up your comparison for the price activity and what you may need or want to accomplish and the time element involved. If you want to sell your home, as an example, and get it ready to go and give it a fresh face, you may not be interested in increasing the efficiency or changing the lighting aspect of the kitchen or the way the kitchen is set up for the so-called kitchen triangle. And you can do refacing in a short order once the materials come in and minimize the amount of activity that may take 2, 3, or 4 months, depending on how extensive your remodeling project may be. So refacing does have its need and it's important, And what we really mean by refacing is changing the presentation of your cabinetry. That is changing nothing else in the kitchen at all, but freshening it up to make it look like it's relatively attractive. And I can say from an investor standpoint, this happens many times over that they'll get in and they'll purchase a home. They'll basically do a refacing operation of some sort and then put the home up for sale and turn it as fast as they can. Turning it, I mean, they can put it up for sale and somebody can purchase it. And that is relatively attractive. I think last week I did discuss with you that one of our investors actually completed none of the project that he had set up to accomplish in getting ready to turn his home for sale. And a customer came in and offered him the value that he asked for with none of the items being accomplished that was set up to be accomplished. And that was the fastest and the most unique turn that he ever did on a piece of property, especially at the value that he had established it, if all the projects were completed appropriately. So with that being in mind, refacing, as I said, really just changes the presentation of the cabinet, be it painting or doing other types of attractions. And one of the main attractions that happens on certain occasions, that one of them we've been associated with, is that the customer that is purchasing the property is not interested at all in changing any of the cabinet arrangements, not changing the countertops, but just changing the presentation look of all the cabinetry in the kitchen. The cabinetry was rather unique in that it was a very, very thin piece of hard plastic, almost like some of the plastic containers that we purchase periodically with food from restaurants or from grocery stores. And it had a wood pattern embezzled into the back side of it, very high gloss, and it was attached to the cabinetry. When it was attached, nobody knows from that situation. The entire cabinet structure was made out of medium-density fiberboard, the side panels, the base of the floor, so to speak, the back panels, as well as the doors were slab-type doors. What we mean is just like a three-quarter-inch piece of wood of some extent, and this overlay was placed over the top of it, sort of like you would put contact paper on a shelf. Very unique, but the overlay itself was coming loose, or maybe it was never attached properly. I don't know whether it came from the manufacturer that way or it was redone appropriately. So anyway, we're going through a refacing operation, and all the customer is desiring is to change out the doors, change out the drawer fronts, and have everything done under a new style. And they're actually looking for a shaker look in the door, as well as changing the color to some sort of a white or light gray from that standpoint. You do have your options of going to many different types of door styles, recessed panel, raised panel, molded doors, or whatever is available. And we have many, many types of doors available that we can offer you at A. Handyman's Haven in order to go through this refacing operation. Once the material comes in, it may only take two, 3, or 4 days in order to finish the project, and you're up and running from that standpoint. In comparison, a lot of people get rather concerned over the amount of money it takes to, say, let's use the term, remodel their kitchen. And remodeling their kitchen may talk about a lot of activities. And some of the activities that get involved in remodeling would be, are your appliances going to be adequate for what you want? So you're going to have the kitchen measured for what you want to propose. You would be getting involved with a designer like we have down at A. Handyman's Haven. We can talk about moving walls. We can talk about opening up spaces, shortening walls down from the ceiling to give you an open look between a dining room or a family room or things of that nature, and give you suggestions on options that are available. Maybe an island is important. things of that nature. So the designer will be acquiring measurements of your kitchen and what you would like as he takes a look at it, he or she takes a look at it, look at the efficiency of the kitchen, see if the so-called National Kitchen and Bath Association's a famous triangle is appropriate for your kitchen. You may need a additional storage. You may need to have a pantry system. You may be looking at a brand new countertop. Along with that, when it comes to costing out the project, you have to think about everything being torn out. You'll have to think about having it hauled away. There's landfill charges involved. There's time involved in loading it into a truck, as an example, a trailer, taking it to the dump and coming back again. You may want to have the electrical moved around to give you better access to receptacles or to your lighting switches. You'll be purchasing brand new cabinets. The cabinets have to arrive. Any modifications that are going to be done locally will have to be completed. You would hire an installer or a contractor that would install the cabinets for you. Then after the base cabinets gets involved, or gets installed at least, we're looking at measuring the counter, selecting counter material on what you would like. The counters would have to be fabricated. The delivery schedule for the counter would be established. Then it'd have to be installed. At that time period or previous to that, you'll have all your appliances purchased, such as sinks, your dishwasher, your stove. There's three types of stoves that are available, which would be a freestanding stove, a slide-in stove, or a drop-in stove. You may be looking at a double oven environment with a microwave associated with it. You may have any stove that have a double oven electrical wiring to handle the requirements of an oven stove arrangement, which may require a 60-amp, 240-volt circuit. Microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, maybe a separate ice maker if you do not like one that's in a freezer, and it goes on from there. So when you start comparing costs and longevity that you plan on being in a home, one would look at a refacing operation versus the remodeling of the kitchen. So the remodeling of the kitchen, with some of the things I've just talked about, is much more costly and much more time sensitive from that standpoint. The remodeling may take 3, 4, or 5 months. And this especially occurs if there happens to be a major leak in the home, or you happen to have a flash fire that developed, unfortunately, which can create a lot of discomfort from that standpoint. So I always suggest to the customer, if they're involved in something like that, to think about Tucson's Fine Originals for your eating, or you may want to get a separate microwave or a toaster oven and bring it into the home and set up a portable area for your kitchen. The kitchen remodel may or may not encompass some of the other rooms that you normally utilize continually, and work at it from that standpoint. I do know that my own kitchen back in 1970 took me approximately 6 months to accomplish, raising 4 children as an example. And like I said, we used microwaves, we ate out, we brought food in, we washed our dishes in our tub as we remodeled the entire kitchen, even though it was a double galley type kitchen. But it just took a lot of activity in order to be accomplished. The cabinetry, the countertops, the new appliances, plumbing that was required, and et cetera. So keep that in mind. And down at A Handyman's Haven, we have excellent designers that can lead you through that project with a lot of resources that are available that can assist you in that nature. So there are, getting back to the story, there are some good requirements for a refacing operation, as well as maybe remodeling if you plan on being in your home for a longer period of time. One of the other refacing operations that I've been associated with this past week is rather interesting to a certain extent, in that a customer purchased a home. We suspect it was out of foreclosure. The reason it was foreclosed on, I have no idea. But in the process, when the owner of the property that was involved in a foreclosure after that owner left, it was rather interesting because when I entered onto the property to assist the contractor, all the appliances had been removed from the home. All the countertops had been removed from the home, basically. All the sinks had been removed from the home. The ceiling lights were taken down, the chandeliers, the pendant lights and things of that nature, and they were gone. All the cabinet doors were gone. All the upper cabinets in the kitchen and other locations were gone. All the drawer fronts were gone. All the drawer boxes were gone. There was one cabinet that was severely broken. This is what was taking place. Now, on this aspect, the owner of the new property, or the new owner of the property, along with a contractor, was very much interested in a refacing operation. So we're going to establish that in order to get it accomplished. But that is going to require buying all brand new appliances, which have already been accomplished. It's putting all new drawer faces on, all new drawer boxes in, and all new doors from that standpoint. So we're trying to balance out the expense of this operation that's so the new owner of the property can accomplish what needs to be done in order to get the property back up, and he hopes to rent the property in this case. So refacing does, again, have its application versus a complete remodel from that standpoint. So keep that in mind if you happen to be in either one of those positions. Again, come on down to Ahaney Men's Haven. We can lead you through a lot of that and suggest referral contractors to handle the projects for you. Well, we completed our second segment at this time period, and our production engineer, John, is getting a little anxious over there and moving the switches. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk, and we'll see you after the break, folks. And welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone with Ahaney Man's Haven. We are a family-owned and operated business. We're transmitting today on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk in the Ahaney Man's Haven Radio Studio. So we just completed some information on refacing. The next item I'm going to talk about is the items, some items that are available. They basically come out with new items periodically to enhance some of the difficulties that we have as a homeowner with various aspects. And both of these are going to be in the vicinity of the plumbing system. As most of us know, with the kitchen sinks, or especially with the shower areas or the bathroom sinks, there seems to be a lot of hair that gravitates towards the drain systems. And all plumbing systems where we have sinks and water flowing into the sewer, you have what we call a P-trap around. Well, they now have a P-trap that's available that has a 45-degree extension that comes out just before the P-trap itself. This unique extension has enclosed in it a cap, obviously, and on the end of the cap happens to be a brush. The brush could be a very strong synthetic material, or it may be of a metal composition from that standpoint. So as the water flows out of the sink area and goes down into the P-trap, this brush extends into the drain flow itself. So all the water that comes out of the sinks flows across this wire brush or this brush system, and then it gathers up as much items that it can that may cause clogging in the piping. Does this happen? Yes, especially happens in tubs that I know of, and especially in the bathroom sink arrangements. And we do have customers that come in and tell us that, well, the sink's got to be of a certain height because we wash our hair in the bathroom sink, not necessarily in the shower or when they're taking a tub bath or whatever it happens to be. And I sort of bite my teeth a little bit because it seems like it's a lot easier to wash your hair in a a bigger drain system than bending over a sink and trying to accomplish that and spraying water all over the place. But anyway, you can uncap this item, pull it out, and you pull the brush out with you, and it has everything on the brush that it was able to collect, and that way you can keep your drain system relatively clean from that standpoint. I do know that in my own personal shower at home, as an example, that I can remove the cap on the shower drain, and I can tell that it's being clogged up by virtue of the water flow. That would be the big indication that you find when you go to drain your bathroom sink or the shower or the tub, that the water does not flow out as rapidly as you think it should. So this is a new type of P-trap that's available with this 45-degree extension. Comes out with a wire brush attached to the cap, which can be easily removed and cleaned out. One thing to remember is that this P-trap system with this cap should be towards the front where you can get to it, and not towards the back. The other unique feature that's available is what we call a bottle trap. I have not seen these in various plumbing locations. They can surely be acquired. And the advantage of these this bottle-type P-trap is that it's very short in nature. It doesn't come down a good 12 inches or so in the center of your cabinetry, and then it forms the joint or the J position of it, and then go into the drain. Always seems to be in the middle of your cabinet and around everything else, and people knock it and bang it and do all sorts of things and create a leak. And then before you know it, you have a water problem going on that you may or may not ever have known about. So the bottle trap comes right out of the bottom of the sink arrangement, probably in the vicinity of 2 or 3 inches down, heads towards the back wall, and enclosed in that 90-degree turn is the P-trap that will the P-trap will provide you with the water valve, so to speak. In other words, water will remain in there. That's so the sewer gases do not come back up into the home. Sewer gases in a home are not desirable. They can be inflammatory from that nature. They do have an odor that is very defined, and it may be something that you do not want to have and does not become an attractive operation of your home. The other thing that can occur, which we've had especially associated with one of the measurements I was involved with, that the plumbing company that did the initial plumbing on this brand new home had brought the drain for the kitchen sink up in the middle of the cabinetry. And it really took a couple of us by surprise, as now the center of the cabinetry is going to be clogged up with this pipe coming up through the center. The P-trap's going to have to go down through there. They're looking at a bottle P-trap and so on and so forth. The plumber assured the contractor as well as myself that don't worry about it. I got a way of handling the problem, and the piping system is going to be put underneath the cabinet in what we call the toe kick area. And it may be that in order to get everything hooked up and operate properly, that we'll have to create a subfloor within the cabinetry, which means when you open up the door, you're going to have this good-looking box sitting there that's going to house all the plumbing as it goes to the back wall and takes care of the venting system that needs to be accomplished from that standpoint. So lots of little wrinkles, lots of little challenges that come about in contracting. So the other thing that I saw recently is that if you have an older home, as an example, which is a type of home that I have, it seems like I have a lot of these experiences that may come about, but it also happened at the store. I have a 1930s building that A. Handy Man's Haven is situated in, and we were having difficulty with the drainage of our sewerage system in our bathroom. And we tried rotor-rooting it out. We had companies come in that had super rotor-rooters. Their camber system was not long enough. We had to get another company that had a a larger camera system with a longer piping that would go down and see what's going on. They did find a break. It was about 60, 70 feet away from the bathroom as it headed out towards the city street. And they did find a blockage. They tried to Roto-Rooter it out with a special router system, a high-powered system, and that failed at the same time. So fortunately, they have a high-pressure purge system, and they were able to send that down there with a 3,000 PSI and was able to get the system out. So then they were able to run the camera back down there to see what the piping looked like. In the process of all this, we had to cut a 6 by 6 foot by 6 foot hole or an area where we could go down and figure out where the piping was. The camera located that for us through the magnetic systems or whatever systems that it uses. So we were able to do that. As a result, we put a double clean out system in so we don't have to go through this again. But when you have a cast iron or a tile system, clay tile system, like it was accomplished in the days of the early 1900s, you can have this piping break and deteriorate. And the cast iron end of this pipe, they did not want to ream it out because of the tentacles. When ice comes off of the ceiling, we call them stalactites, and that's what the metal does. It forms these little steel stalactites. They did not want to go in and ream it out because they were afraid that the cast iron would collapse and the dirt itself would fall in, and then we'd have a real serious problem in trying to figure out how to open up that pipe. So as a result of that, it was cleaned out. So you can have this problem, and in older homes, they can be created. And they were demonstrating, and this on one application that I saw, that they can take this high-pressure purge system, get it down past where the rock or the collapse may be, and then reverse the piping somehow, whereby the water now shoots up where you just came in at instead of going down. And they can drive out all the rocks and the dirt and the plumbing. But look out, you may have a rock storm, a dust storm, or a mud storm as it comes out the other end. But that's one way of cleaning out the system and then having it lined with fiberglass and develop a brand new system from that standpoint. So there are ways of doing this today. I will admit that it gets to be very, very expensive from that standpoint. But it can be accomplished. That would be a lot easier than tearing up flooring and trying to replumb a system from that standpoint, which will be probably a lot more expensive than cleaning it out with some of the modern equipment that is available from a plumbing standpoint. Well, folks, we're coming upon the end of our third segment on AM 1030 The Voice with Trusted Local News and Talk, and we'll see you after break. That's right, folks. What do you get? Another day older, loading 16 tons. Let me tell you, that's a lot of work if you have to do it by hand or piecemeal it on. We've done that sometimes down at A Handyman's Haven when we've had to offload our laminate flooring coming in at individual pieces because the forklift has failed or whatever it happens to be. It's not much fun, but another day older, and away we go. This is Maurice Cerrone from A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with Trusted Local News and Talk. So I'd like to talk a little bit about countertops. That was an ad that was presented just before we came back on after the break. A Handyman's Haven carries 7 countertops of different colors in stock. They're laminate countertops. We can offer you a 10-foot piece of countertop with an integrated backsplash for $9 a linear foot or for a total of $90. That's the best buy that I know that is available. That is much better than any cost of natural stone or quartz countertops from that area. The laminate countertops of years past when they first came out are antimicrobial, hyperallergenic. They do not require sealing. They're very low maintenance. They're stain resistant, and they can provide you a countertop for a very, very long period of time. I see we have a listener on the phone by the name of Mark. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, I wanted to also thank you about your personal tour of your facilities last week. I didn't expect that. I just came in looking to see what you got going there because I hear you on the radio, and I was in the area, and I was very impressed. You've got, like, everything there, and if people don't know, if you don't have what it is that the people need, you know exactly where they can send them, where you send them out to get it.
Well, I appreciate the very fine comment, and it was very enjoyable to have you come in and to give you a tour of our complex. I appreciate that comments very much, Mark.
I had no idea how big of an operation you had there, and you have manufacturing production capabilities that were beyond whatever I would have thought you could have had there. And so if anybody's needing any kind of work done on their house, you should be one of the first places they go see. And speaking of that, I forgot to mention to you when I was there, my air conditioner has gone out on me. And last summer, I got through the summer by using window air conditioners, and it worked amazingly well. That got me thinking about going to a ductless mini splits kind of a system. I was wondering if you knew anything about that or had opinions about that.
Well, there's a couple systems available, and I do have some information on that. There is a listener that has called in the past by the name of Tom, who believes in double, triple, quadruple stage evaporative cooler systems. And I, without getting too involved in elaborate discussion, he is very knowledgeable on the wet bulb temperatures and how the system all works. My practical knowledge of that would be very similar to the big chiller systems that commercial buildings utilize it many times. And the other item you talked about are splits. A split is nothing more than, instead of routing ductwork all over your home with drop ceilings or soffits, as we call them, or putting them into the attic, you're actually just running the coolant, which is a liquid aspect, through piping to various locations, to various rooms. And with that being in mind, you have a evaporator that sits in each individual room. It's sort of like a hotel, as an example, that has individual, or similar, I should say, individual heating and cooling in each room. You can turn on and turn off, and that's the same thing the way splits operate. So the liquid coolant comes in, it goes through an evaporator system in a room, and then it is returned back to the condenser, which could be centrally located, or it could be outside, like some of the exterior condensing systems are employed today. They still do put the condensing systems in the home in certain aspects, or on the roof, as you may see. But the evaporator may be in the home, especially what's termed as a central system. So one of them is a little easier to convert to than purchasing all the ducting and creating drop ceilings throughout the home. That's about the extent of my knowledge concerning that.
Okay. Well, it seems to be maybe a little cheaper than getting the whole house, central air conditioning, a heat pump basically is what it would be.
Right. Well, I really think it does. We do have a contractor that comes in that he builds new homes from dirt up, and he's been doing that for 7-8 years or so, and that's all he puts in are splits. He does not put in the standard heat pump or type of a central system that we've known in the past. Central systems are mainly installed when a house is brand new. Sometimes there's two or three systems, depending upon the largeness of the house. And that's an awful lot of steel ducting that has to be placed and insulated and controlled from that standpoint, as well as balance. Those systems require balancing at all time periods.
Yeah, and so I have floor ducting, under the floor ducting. So, as I mentioned, a manufactured home, like 2,000 square feet.
Sure.
So the standard would be a 5-ton air conditioner for that size house. Anyway, and of course, not all the rooms are used at all times. And that's been always a hassle to deal with those floor ducts. And so I'm thinking that maybe a mini splits might be all right, and could get, don't have to, I could utilize all my floor space if I wanted to.
Sure.
And if it's something that a do-it-yourselfer like me could actually install.
Well, it's surely possible. I know that I wouldn't tackle it. From my standpoint, I've changed them out periodically, but I think a do-it-yourselfer could install it. It's just running a bunch of pipes and tubes and installing the evaporator. I know that the individual that comes in, he says it's very easily to accomplish. There's basically no balancing required. And normally speaking, the ducting system requires a pressure-sensitive balancing system, and the ducts have to vary in size in order to maintain the constant velocity that is needed. So it is a lot simpler from that standpoint. If you know how to sling a pipe wrench and seal it up at the joints, you got it made.
Of course I do. I built everything I did here for my place.
You know? Well, that's fantastic.
Do they also put these diffuser ducts or whatever you call it, not ducts, but the diffuser heads? I'm not sure what you call it.
The evaporating heads.
In the bathroom? Yeah.
Yes. In the bathroom as well. You can actually put them anywhere you want. The only thing that I can see is that you're putting air in the room when you're running them. You can run them as individuals, which is what you would do. But maybe the rooms that you have that you're utilizing on a regular basis would have those up and operating at all time periods. And then the rooms that are not used on a daily basis or a weekly or a monthly basis, whatever it happens to be, then those could be turned off, and it's a considerable savings on your electric bill from that standpoint. So,
yeah, and it'd be far more quieter than window air conditioners.
I would definitely think so, yes.
Just running a fan.
Right, it just runs a fan. It's like the radiator of your automobile. You just got airflow going across it, which the fan generates it, and then the coolant or the heating of it comes from the condenser unit, which may be positioned outside or maybe some other location that's easily accessible for repairing when that comes about.
Well, good I want talk. To thank you for the information and for your show, too.
Okay, I appreciate
nice
that very much, and I do appreciate you coming down and introducing yourself at the show, and it was our pleasure to show you around. So stop
and
by more frequently.
Anybody who's wondering, go down there. It's a great place to check out. You'll find treasures over there.
Okay, very good. Enjoy the upcoming Easter break that you may be involved with due to your schooling, and we'll see you later on down the road.
Okay, thanks.
So getting back talking about laminate countertops, I indicated to you the price that we have at A. Handyman's Haven. You can get a 10-foot piece of laminate countertop for $90. We'll do all the straight cuts for you. Any other type of preparation in order to get you a countertop that you can install, there may be some minor charges associated with it. So for $90, you can get a 10-foot piece, and that is considerably less than any natural stone countertop that you can buy from that standpoint. We also have bar tops available. They start at 12 inches in front back depth. A bar top is indicated where it has a standard edge on both lengths of it, left to right length, so to speak, not the depth. So they start at 12 inches and they continue on up to 45 inches. And in reality, we can make any manufacture or fabricate any bar top or island top at A. Handyman's Haven, of which we presently have just completed a island bar top that is 9 feet in length, left to right, and it's 5 feet in width, so to speak, or front to back. So lots of capability, as Mark has just indicated, that we have available. We do have laminate countertops for bathrooms, for kitchens, and I talked about the bar tops. We can do angle cuts on these bar tops and get them ready to go for you. We can provide you the miter that is required on both ends of the 90-degree corner. We cut the router holes at where you can put the bolts in, and then you can anchor it down from that standpoint. One of the other things I like to talk about is joining wood during construction. I like framing and roof rafters and ceiling joists or floor joists. Take a look at the Simpson Strong Tie website and any piece of metal that you may need to join two pieces of wood together for whatever activity that you want. A Simpson could very well, in their Strong Tie division, have the metal required to join those pieces of wood. So their website is Go Strong Tie. It's go.strongtie.com, and you can see what they have available. We're coming to the end of the program. It's been a joy being with you and talking with the listener that called in. We'll see you next week with some other jewels of the trade. Thank you very much from A Handyman's Haven with local news and talk on AM 1030, The Voice.